Good morning.
Good morning.
I was walking in this morning, and Marcus was walking next to me, and he says, good morning, after the salutation bullshit. And I said, how are the weak cunts doing in there? Meaning you. He said, I don't know. And I said, I think we have some weak cunts this time around. He says, I think so. I think so. And he's fucking right about that. And I was reading my emails quickly this morning, and Facefuck and Linkfuck and a couple others, and I just don't understand. And for those of you that are on YouTube listening to this, why in God's name do people say salutation and God bless you and life is about love and what the fuck? Am I missing something? Am I missing something? Why would anybody fucking write me that? Me! Of all fucking people on the fucking planet! Me! Nobody ever talked to me when I was at Onassis that way. I assure you. They were hoping I'd fucking die because Grazos loved me. And I wasn't Greek. Maybe some of you that are on YouTube can just give me a little enlightenment. Because I assure you, these guys on the influencers, they couldn't give a fuck less. Life is about the me. I can't even say it. I mean, the word's choking my throat. I just don't understand. And you wonder why more people aren't high performance. Especially to me. Like I gave a fuck. Of course, my kids say I'm a Neanderthal. But Sally and I had the privilege of having dinner on New Year's Eve. We went to the Ritz, as it's on Facebook, and some of the Landon Gentry, very successful people there in not just in England, but all the world come there for the Ritz, because the Ritz New Year's Eve deal is a real performance. And last year we had met with a retired CEO. I didn't know who he was last year. But this year we saw him New Year's Eve, and then we had dinner with him again on New Year's Day. And he's a retired CEO of one of the biggest companies in America. He's retired a number of years ago. He's going to be 75 this year. And he lives in a he's a wealthy guy, and we were talking at dinner, and he doesn't have internet. I don't even think he has a cell phone, and he basically, as I mentioned to some of you, he thinks that the youth of the world is full of shite and they're worthless. But we were talking about some of the things that we agree on, and even though he's a few years older than I am, he's more of a Neanderthal than I am. And he says, as I do, but see, I'm going to live long enough. He doesn't plan on living that long. He says, I'll be gone to see the demise of the world. So he doesn't give a shit. I'm going to live a long time, so I'm probably going to be here for the demise of the world. So I do give a shit in that sense. But he's already given up on his kids, and he says the only possibility is his grandkids, and they're all lazy too. They're all lazy too. Like I said earlier, it's a good thing the Iron Curtain fell 20 plus years ago. We're fortunate that the Iron Curtain fell, because you know, as we all know from watching the news, Putin et al. Are not like us. When a bunch of terrorists go in and capture a bunch of people in an airport or a hotel, what happened? What do they do to them?
Kill them all.
Kill everybody! They don't fucking negotiate with them. What do we do? Oh, we're like Neville Chamberlain. Maybe, just maybe, Neville Chamberlain is a guy before your time that went and capitulated to Hitler back in 1938. He was the Prime Minister of Britain at the time. And then, and Hitler's response, he invaded Poland. Then he invited Czechoslovakia, or vice versa, I'm not sure which. But he capitulated, and that's what we do now. So in that regard, because I'm going to be active 50 more years, I'm going to see a lot of that. Now, I'm going to outlive a lot of you in this room. I hope I don't outlive you, but I might. And so when you see what's transpired from the days that I was with the Onassis group, Mr. Grazos up there, I never met Mr. Onassis, but it was a completely different environment. Now, Greece has been all fucked up, and the economy, and I understand all that. But I was privileged at a young age to work with some of the really smart guys. And my office was Christine Onassis' office, because she never came to the office. Christine Onassis was the heir to the Ari Onassis Trust, the Aristotle Onassis Trust, and Mr. Grazos was the trustee, or whatever they call him. He managed it. And I used to sit in the corner office on Fifth Avenue, overlooking St. Paul's Cathedral, I think it is, on Fifth Avenue. Is it St. Paul's? Anyway, big church. And I used to have my feet up on the desk, and the phone had direct lines, Vatican, White House, Imelda DeMarcos. And I used to pick them up as a young guy, and they'd answer, and I'd put the phone down, like this. And I'd sit there, and Mr. Grazos would come in, he'd shuffle in. When he got old, he had trouble walking. And he says, Mr. Pena, he never called me anything other than Mr. Pena. Never called me Dan. I called him, to begin with, Mr. Grazos. Then I called him Constantine, and at the end of his life, I called him Costa. Okay? And he says, can we have lunch today? Are you busy? I'm never too busy, depending on when it was in our cycle, Costa. And then we'd go out, and he'd put his arm in my arm, and we'd shuffle, and he says, I have to stop in the toilet. So we'd stop in the toilet, and some of you have heard this story before many times. He used to dispense his knowledge and wisdom to me while taking a pee. And just a couple of the bits of information. He's standing in the urinal here, and I'm standing in the urinal here. And he'd look down, and he'd say, Mr. Pena, and at that time he was about 80-ish. He'd say, use it before you lose it. Yes, sir. You know, it didn't take a genius to figure that out, what he meant, right? He said, then another time, but the best advice, one of the best bits of advice he ever gave me, he says, excuse me. And we were looking in the commode, and there's a stall like this. A commode is the thing you sit on to take a crap. And he said, what do you see there, Mr. Pena? And I go, I'm trying to think, you know, esoterically, outside the box, what the fuck's he talking about? I see porcelain, I see water, I see steel stall sides, etc. Okay, let's go back to water, Mr. Pena. Okay, you see water. What do you see in the water? And I said, well, right now I don't see anything, thank goodness. It's all clean. He says, yes, but what if you put your fist in the water? This is really important to you fucking melon heads that have the IQ of a fucking jellyfish. And so I'm trying to think esoterically again, outside the box. What's the old man mean? And I said, okay, well, if you put your fist in the water, you displace water. And he says, correct, Mr. Pena. And what happens when you release your hand from the commode and you pull it out of the water? I'm trying to think again, esoterically, outside the box. Fuck, let me see. Is this physics? I said, the water fills back in and it replaces where your hand was. That is life, Mr. Pena. That is life. You're no more than a fist in a fucking bowl of toilet water in life. And when you pull your hand out, the water goes back and flows over it. That's what you fuckers and the fuckers that write me on fucking LinkFuck, FaceFuck, and Twitter don't understand. That's all you are. In the cosmos of fucking time, you're not a fart in the fucking wind. And they ask me, love is the... What the fuck? God. If you're up there listening, what the fuck? And that's what you don't understand. And that's what these guys did understand. And these guys understand not as well as these guys. I'm pointing at the Hall of Fame and the Hall of Shame. But even the Hall of, the influencers. But even the Hall of Shame understood. Now, I got an email last night. I've got $2 more billion on my list. One of my great mentees emailed me, he said, I sent you the email. He says, Dan, did you remember such and such? And I said, I completely forgot. And he listed, and he said, $2 billion that I created. from scratch. Didn't even think about it. That's $2 billion than the whole fucking rest of the industry, cumulatively, since the beginning of fucking time, has created. And I forgot about it. I don't know why any of you cunts even talk to these other people. Listen to them. Go to their fucking seminar. The more I think about it, the more pissed I get. You sorry fucking cunts. I've been asked to do this podcast. Is that what it's called? Podfuckers? And I said, you don't have any idea what you're getting yourself into for. You don't want me. Because you're a cunt, and all the people that listen to you are cunts. And your sponsors are even bigger cunts for putting up the money so you can do this fucking thing. Are you sure you want me? They haven't responded. I get a lot of things that they don't respond. The Chicanos don't even call me anymore. For years they haven't. For years. Now, last night you saw two films, as they say here. Films. No, one film, excuse me. Fear, right?
Yeah.
When I ever say that, I think of the word, there was a movie called The Cape of Good Hope, or The Cape of Fear.
Yeah.
With De Niro and Nolte.
Yeah.
Okay. Great film. And so what did you get out of the Fear movie? Or the Fear, it's the Discovery or Channel or something, right? Okay. Yes.
Well, sure. You know, of course I knew that we can change ourselves through learned response behavior and so forth. But to really see those experiments with the rats and everything, it kind of really brought it home, how we, A, are initially conditioned and possibly could be reconditioned. So that was...
Well, and that's what... But to be reconditioned, as we went through the slide on Pavlov, I mean, you have to go out under stress again. And that's what most of the big military training is, especially the Navy SEAL, Ranger, and some of the stuff that I went through. They tear you down. That's what we do here. We tear you down, we skin you down to your bones, and then we build you back up, but we do it under stress. We do it under stress. And because you can't build them back up. Of course, I make fun because now the Navy SEALs can go home on the weekends, and you go home and fuck your wife if you got a wife there living on base during the week. I mean, I can't, that's inconceivable to me. Because when I went to training for 6 months, they didn't get to do anything. You got 2 or 3 hours sleep every night, and they beat the fuck out of you. In those days, they used to physically beat you. I remember we were going to counterinsurgency school. And we had just gotten, our trainers were the guys that had just gotten back from Vietnam. And some of them had just escaped from North Viet Cong camps. And so they taught us. And so... the guys that got caught, the best man at my wedding, got caught in the school, and they staked him out. And if you're watching, Dave, please get a hold of me. They staked him out on an anthill, and they put honey all over him and left him for 2 days. Now just think about it. They staked him out on a fucking anthill. Fucking ants. And they poured honey all over him. Now I'd like to do that to Rick Avina, because he's a fucking cunt. Can you just visualize that? Just visualize it. And to this day, he sees an ant and he breaks out in a cold fucking sweat. That's Pavlov's training. Another thing they used to do, they capture you, they put you up on a tree, they put a rope around your ankle, and they throw you out of the tree, so it snapped your ankle, sometimes. And then they take battery with wires and they put them to your testicles to make you talk. So what was the essence of this training? Like I said, never get fucking captured. That was the essence of the fucking training. They never caught me. I shot a trainer right in the face with a blank. Because I had been caught, but I shot him in the face with a blank. He almost lost his eyes. And we're going to put fucking batteries on my fucking testicles. And they weren't sure as fuck gonna put me on an anthill. Better he lose his fucking eyesight. And it was a training exercise. I say I'm blue in the face ad nauseum. Six high performance successful people practice being successful. I put in 65 hours for this fucking seminar for these morons and you jellyfish brains. And I could do this. If I never change a seminar and I never put these things on the wall and I never came up with new slides, I could give the same seminar I gave to Fidel Vargas in 1993-94. And except for the people that keep coming back, like Robert, Marcus, and this Robert, nobody knows the difference. Because you melonheads wouldn't know. When was the last time you practiced being successful? Never. Not. And you want to know why you're in the situation you are, you sorry cunts. But you're right about the film. And most of this stuff, in fact, all the stuff that I use for visual aids is free on the internet. But I'm the only one. There's a program called, what's that program that's on Bloomberg? Tech Stars, and I bring up things to high tech guys, you know, high tech, the internet scum, and they never heard of the program, they never saw it. And here I'm 68 years old and I'm watching these things and I think net scum, that's why I call them that, and yet I know more about the shit than they do. Because that's why when I watch CNN, CNBC, BBC ad nauseum 20 hours a day, so I can keep up with the trends. That's why I know more about the economy and what they're doing in Alexandria, Egypt, and Sao Paulo, and because I keep up with it. Anybody else have a comment about the Fear movie? The Fear movie is a good movie. I like the part when the black guy comes up to the couple. Why do they pick a black guy? Why do you think? Are all black guy muggers, rapists, murderers? No. But why do they pick a black guy? And this is a politically correct program on Discovery. They wouldn't say shit if it was in their mouth. Because it's a stereotype. They want to feed on the stereotype. And then the couple is thinking, what can I do? And can I beat this guy? Can I do this? Can I do that? Now, in the world that I came from, you wouldn't do all this thing. You'd kick the guy in the balls and then try to cut his fucking tongue out. That's the world I came from. I wouldn't be thinking about all this shit. And just like in the movies when they say, okay, what are your last words, Marcus, before they're going to put a cap in your ass? That means a bullet in you. That ain't the way it is. They just put a bullet in you. They don't ask you about it. Do you have any last words? What kind of shit is this? You just shoot him in the fucking head. And then you shoot him 4 or 5 more times to make sure he's dead. Okay. I hope you're enjoying YouTube, everybody. I'll talk to you later. Thank you.